way, go to Genesis chapter 17 with me, please. I have a word from the Lord for you today. I want to talk to you about overcoming faith's greatest opponent. Overcoming faith's greatest opponent. Genesis chapter 17. It's been a while for some of the alumni since they've been in class. That's the first book in your Bible. I'm just full of bad jokes this morning. I have no idea what else might come out before the sermon's over. Genesis 17, we're going to read verses 15 through 21. We're talking about overcoming faith's greatest opponent. Now, God has just given Abraham the sign of circumcision. That's going to be a token of who is in covenant relationship with him and who is not. And after giving him those instructions, he reiterates a promise about giving Abraham many descendants. He says this in verse 15. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." Really old, well-known, cheesy analogy that preachers often use. It's a story of a man who once hiked to the top of a mountain to enjoy the view. And while he was looking out over the view, he slipped and tumbled over the cliff edge. But just before he plummeted to his death, he was able to grab a tree branch that jutted out from the vertical mountain face. As he dangled there, he called up loudly and said, "Help! Help! Is anybody up there?" Suddenly, a booming voice thundered from heaven above him in perfect King James English, saying, "I have heard thee, my child. If thou wilt let go of the branch, I shall bear thee up in mine hand." In reply, the dangling man looked up from his tree branch and called, "Is anybody else up there?" How many of us know that trusting God can be just a bit terrifying? We laugh at that story because it is silly. It's a bit over the top. But we stop laughing when we realize we've all been the guy dangling from the tree branch. We all have these tree branch situations in our lives that makes faith, that makes exercising belief a really terrifying prospect. Because if the guy lets go of the tree branch and God doesn't come through, if God doesn't bear him up in his hand, he's going to lose his life. And you and I come up against things in our lives where we feel like if we let go and let God, if we release our control of the situation and trust him with it, we could lose a lot. And our fear of a negative outcome often overpowers our trust in God's faithfulness. And that's what makes belief scary. When your fear of a negative outcome is greater than your trust in God's faithfulness, that is what makes belief scary. What will you lose if you let go of your tree branch? What will you lose if God doesn't come through for you? Sometimes faith's greatest opponent is the potential for disappointment. That's really what it comes down to. Sometimes faith's greatest opponent is the potential for disappointment. You lift your heart up and you believe God. You believe God. You're going to stir up all your faith. You're going to make faith-filled proclamations in church and in prayer. And you're going to go to people to pray with you and maybe get a word from God. But if it's something really sacred and really close to your heart, this nagging thought that, what if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't work out the way that I want it to? What if God doesn't answer the prayer the way that I believe he said he would? If I let go of this tree branch and I'm not caught, I drop. What am I going to lose? I don't know what I'll do with that. So your greatest opponent to your faith is often the potential for disappointment. It just feels too dangerous to believe. If I dare to believe God and then it doesn't happen, I don't know what I'll do. And in the text that we just read, we're talking about a very elderly couple who has been promised the impossible by God. At their time of life, they're gonna have a biological child. God's gonna make them the parents of many nations, and through their family, every family on the earth is going to be blessed. And they are afraid to believe him because, number one, it's impossible. It goes against the very laws of nature for people at that age and time of life to be able to conceive and have children, but it's also something they've never gotten to enjoy. And to feel like it might be knocking at their door, but then to see it not happen, to see the promise not come to pass, it's very much like letting go of the tree branch. And rather than being caught, you just drop. And a lot of us will come into situations like that. And that's why I believe this morning, God is calling us to a faith that transcends the fear of disappointment. God's calling us to a faith today that transcends the fear of being disappointed and believes God for the impossible. That's what I believe he wants to do for us today. So as I mentioned, the passage that we read picks up immediately after Abraham has been given the sign of circumcision from God. God gives him instructions on what to do, why it's going to be a covenant sign. And after he does that, we get to verse 15 where we read, and God reiterates his covenant promise that he made in Genesis 12 and in Genesis 15. I'm gonna make your family a source of blessing to every family on the planet. I'm gonna give you more children than you can count. But there's this interesting thing that happens in Genesis 16. Abraham and Sarah get this brilliant idea, you know, we believe that God's gonna give us a family, but it doesn't seem to be happening the way that we thought it would. We're really old. Here, take my maidservant Hagar that we got in Egypt. You can go ahead and try to make her conceive and she'll have children on my behalf, Sarah said. So they do that. Sure enough, Hagar gets pregnant. She bears a boy to Abraham, his firstborn son, and they name him Ishmael. And you're going into chapter 17 with Abraham believing this is the covenant child. But what we can't miss is that this act of unbelief, it wasn't an act of faith, it was an act of fear. Maybe let's help God fulfill his promise. Let's help the plan along. This action brought unbelievable dysfunction into his home. When Sarah saw that Hagar was now the mother in the house and she was not, she began to deal with her very abusively. She began to degrade her and demean her, and it got so intense that Hagar did something that could almost be considered suicidal. She ran into the desert. This young pregnant girl goes alone into the wilderness. She sits down by a spring of water, and God has to meet her there and comfort her and then send her back to her mistress. So the dysfunction that this brought in was unreal. It wasn't like just, we made a mistake, oops. It's like, no, you brought all kinds of abuse and manipulation into your home. You drove a young girl to literally take her and her baby's lives in her own hands and do something that could have been very deadly had God not intervened. This wasn't just an oops moment. This was a, very cringy, devastating kind of moment. This was a bad idea. So we get to chapter 17, and God is reiterating the promise, but he's got to clarify something. He adds this idea that he hasn't said before in verse 15, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, not Hagar. Sarah is your covenant wife. I didn't want you to do that back there, Abraham. That was a bad decision. That was not my plan, that was your plan. That was your effort trying to help me along. Just like I've chosen you and changed your name from Abram to Abraham, I've chosen your wife, Sarai, and I've changed her name to Sarah, which means princess. I have called the two of you to be the bearers of my covenant, and I'm not calling anybody else. Don't try to help the plan along, you wait in faith until I come through. But that's the exact thing that terrifies Abraham, and you see it in his reaction. It says in verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He hears the promise of God, and it's not just about this generality, oh, you're gonna have a lot of kids. He thought he solved that problem.
Yeah, I just took Hagar as a concubine. Now I've got a son, and the rest is just going to go on from here. He'll grow up and take a wife, and they'll have kids, and the promise of God, it's on its way to fulfillment. But then, no, it's not through Hagar. It's through your wife, Sarah. Now it's really impossible. They thought they had it. They thought they fixed the problem. And now Abraham's realizing, God, you're asking me to believe you for something that's not just impossible, but it's really scary. This is sacred. My wife yearns to have a baby. She never thought she would experience that joy in her life. And now you're telling me that it's going to happen. And so he laughs at God. And there's this mixture of emotion in what he says. It says that he falls on his face. So that's the sign of reverential awe. He doesn't want to be like, God, I'm not trying to make fun of you, but really? Really, Lord? I don't want to be disrespectful. So he's on his face because he doesn't want to get struck dead, but he can't help laughing at the impossibility of it all, the foolishness of this promise. And then he urgently pleads with God in verse 18, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." This is a man who is ready to settle for less. This is a man who is so afraid to let go of his tree branch that he feels safer hanging on to it and dangling over impossibility than he does feel safe letting go and trusting God to do what he said he would actually do. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God, can't you just accept what I've produced up to this point? Why do you have to ask so much of my wife and me? Why do you have to ask us to do something so scary and so terrifying? Why do you have to ask us to step into a place of uncertainty that really just makes us feel beyond uncomfortable? Lord, if this doesn't happen, this is just setting us up for disappointment. If you don't come through the way that you say you're going to, this is just going to leave us in a place of brokenness and pain. So he laughs the promise off as impossible and then asks that his own strength would be sufficient. Believing for Sarah to get pregnant is letting go of the tree branch. It's just too dangerous. It's too dangerous to believe for something like that. My wife and I are very able to connect with the story in a lot of ways, and I've been here many, many times. For 10 years, we have been unsuccessfully trying to get pregnant. 10 years, we've been trying and we have not been able to succeed. And what I've struggled with is, like Abraham, I've struggled to know how much faith-filled proclamation is actually helpful to her and how much is just setting her up for further despair. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've not walked the road of infertility, it's a really dark valley that very few people understand, very few people talk about. It is unspeakably lonely. And there is nothing. There's a reason the author of Proverbs said that there are four things that are never satisfied, five that never say enough. He says the grave, he says fire, the thirsty earth that craves rainwater, and the barren womb. So think about the grouping that he puts it in there. When a woman's natural cry is for life to fill her body, that's something that God put her there. And when that's not being satisfied, it's an agony that you can't really understand, you can only experience. And in my desire to protect her heart and even to protect my own, sometimes silence has felt safer. Sometimes it's felt safer not to say, we're going to believe God for a miracle. We're going to trust God to fill. Come here, hon, I'm going to pray over your belly. She's like, don't do that to me. She's told me. You know, there are rules I know that I'm not supposed to break. You know, but I understood why. Because when you put yourself out there, and if it doesn't happen the way that you crave it to, who's going to pick up the pieces after everything falls apart, after you fall apart? And that's been 10 years, month after month of disappointment. And there have been nights I've had to literally turn on every light in our house just to make it feel less dark. And there are times you come up against situations in life where it's a tree branch. Letting go feels like the most dangerous, deadly thing you can do, and the safest thing is to just let go of hope. Let go of hope. Hope is too painful. Believing God is too painful. It's too high risk. It's too dangerous. I'm just going to hang here and wait it out and see what happens. And that is the reality that a lot of Christians live in every day. I was in a place where, like Abraham, I wanted to cry out, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God, please don't ask me to enter into a place of really dangerous, scary faith."
And we will all face the temptation to settle for Ishmael when we're dangling from a tree branch. And it often manifests in two ways that you can see here in the story. One is that you don't want to believe because you are content with what God has already done. You've walked through valleys of impossibility. You've seen him answer prayer. And now you're good with that. You don't want to have to go through it again. You don't want to have your faith stretched in another instance and in another situation. You've believed him for the impossible. You've seen him come through. But hey, that was a great trip, Lord. I don't want to take it again. Thank you. I'm good. You know, you do something once and it's not to be repeated. Sometimes we are content with what God has already done and we hide behind that as a reason to say, I don't need to believe more. I've done that already. God, we're good. Let's just settle on this. Now that's kind of noble. But the second reason why we often want to settle for Ishmael is a bit uglier and it's a bit closer to what happened to Abraham in his story. Often we don't want to believe God because we're content with a stabilized mess. We often don't want to believe God because we're content with a stabilized mess. As I said, chapter 16, Sarah says, hey, get Hagar pregnant. You can have children through her. Maybe that's how God wants to fulfill his plan. They do it. It brings in all kinds of horrendous dysfunction. It fractures relationships in their home. And a young girl takes her life into her own hands and goes out into the desert potentially to die. And so when God brings that story to a close, and the very next section in chapter 17 is the covenant of circumcision, that's very deliberate. Throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, in the books of Moses, circumcision is never about an outward physical ritual. It is about an attitude of the heart. Circumcision is a matter of the heart being ready for conviction from the Holy Spirit. You are responsive to God's correction. You do not harden yourself against when he tells you that something is wrong. Because when God opens chapter 17 and he gets ready to tell Abraham about circumcision, he says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. It's been 13 years since the birth of Ishmael. But before God will give Abraham Isaac, he says, there's some things we have to get in line. You made a very destructive decision, and it's kind of stabilized. Your home is no longer dysfunctional. Sarah and Hagar are no longer at each other's throats, but that doesn't mean everything is okay. There are some things that I want to straighten out. There are some things I want to speak to because I want to bless you. When God gives the covenant of circumcision to Abraham, it's very much about dealing with something he'd allowed to come into his heart, making this destructive decision that affected his home in a very negative way. But the aim of that covenant, the aim of that ritual, was so that Abraham could receive covenant blessing. He tells him in verse 1, I want you to walk before me and be blameless. He tells him in verse 2 that your ability to receive the covenant promise rests on this blamelessness. You walking before me in sincerity and in honesty of heart is what's going to allow the covenant blessing to come into your home. If you're still trying to help me and make things happen in your own strength, Abraham, it's just not going to work. And sometimes, like Abraham, our poor character, our poor choices can create consequences in our lives that seem to stall or alter the call of God that he has for us. And like Abraham, we undergo a kind of circumcision of the heart. We realize we were wrong. We're repentant, and we don't believe there's more for us. Sometimes the reason you don't want to let go of the tree branch, sometimes the reason you're willing to settle for Ishmael and not believe for an Isaac is because you don't believe you deserve Isaac. Lord, I made a mess. God, I made a really bad decision. And I'm still seeing the outworkings of that decision. I'm still being affected by it. My family is still being affected by it. My church, whatever the case might be, and you start believing, I don't deserve Isaac. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God, I've altered your plan for my life. There is no way that Isaac can still be what you want to do. There is no way that plan A is still on the table. It's got to be something else that you have in store for me. I've made mistakes, but Lord, things are, they're okay now. They've kind of stabilized a little bit. You know, there's still effects of it, but look, it's stable. I just want to get to the end of the journey in peace. If you ask me to believe for more, I'm going to make a mess all over again. If you try to use me beyond where I am, I've ruined the original plan. Let's just go with this. Let's stick with Ishmael. Sometimes we want to settle for Ishmael because we're content with what God has already done. We've received the impossible. It hurt. We don't want to have to go through it again. Sometimes we're just content with our stabilized mess. I'm not worthy of an Isaac. God, I'm happy with the Ishmael. Can my life just be stable now? But neither attitude is good enough for God. Neither attitude is good enough for God. Because what's his response in verse 19? God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you will call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. What is going on here in God's response? The father of faith does not deserve Isaac. He does not deserve the original call and plan of God. He made a mess that brought damage to other people's lives. The consequences of his actions are still being felt at this point in the story. Why on earth would he want to believe for more? Let's just settle and get comfortable here. But God says, no, you might be ready to settle for less, but I am not. I want to give you everything that I promised you. It's not about whether you deserve it. It's about my faithfulness. I promise to do this for you, and I'm not going to fail. Let go of the tree branch. And Christina and I recently let go of our tree branch, literally just last Friday, 2 days ago. And I don't know why God seems to be fond of calling us to do things the hard way, but I'm thankful for it. You know, we felt him after a long period of prayer telling us that he's going to give us a baby. He's going to get us pregnant, but he wants us to walk the road of IVF. And it took a long time for me to get there. And it's like, you know, God, can't you just give us a miracle? Can't you just let this happen naturally? And this past Friday morning, we had to get all, you got to give yourself shots and everything. And that was something I don't know if I ever imagined seeing her do that to herself. And we got everything ready and you're getting all the medicine in the vial and, you know, she's got to inject herself. And I already told her, like, I can't do it. You're on your own, or you got to call Karis because she's doing this for a living. Okay, she'll come and stick you. I can't do it. And I offered, like, I saw when I felt her trembling, I was like, I'll do it if you need me to. And she said, no, I'll do it. I have to do it. And so I'm standing behind her, and I'm holding her, and she's standing there shaking with this needle that she has to put into herself. And all I can think is, God, why can't this be easy? If you promise this, why does it have to be hard? Why does it have to feel like letting go of a tree branch? Why does there have to be this bottomless pit underneath me that I'm afraid you're going to let me fall into? Why does it have to be difficult? But, you know, as I was standing there and I'm holding her and she's sticking herself with this medication that's supposed to get her ready for being able to carry life within her womb, you know, I had this moment of clarity where the past 10 years just seemed to make sense. And it was like, you know what? God, sometimes your miracles, they're just transcending of the laws of nature. And you just make things happen, whether nature says it can or not. And you give people the joy of seeing something supernatural happen. But then there's another kind of miracle where you let our trials make us better. You let our trials and our difficulties increase our faith. And I started thinking about how the past 10 years of pain and difficulty and fear have made me more convinced than ever that he is everything he says he is. And he does not fail, ever. And I began to think about every young couple and every young lady that my wife and I have had the privilege of praying with, because they were walking that same road. And we'd pray for other people, we'd counsel them, we'd see them get pregnant, and we'd celebrate with them. But then we would sometimes, and this is not meant to bring guilt of any kind, there's nothing wrong with it, just we would go home and cry sometimes. Like, Lord, thank you for using us. Thank you for giving us the privilege of ministering, but when is it our turn? And don't get me wrong, I do not see myself as settling for Ishmael in the sense of we made a mess. We're content with what God has already done. God blessed us with a little boy, and he is God's perfect plan for us. And that was what God wanted us to do. He wanted us to adopt. Now he wants us to go through IVF. It's like, man, you know, our kids are expensive, and man, Lord, you know? Why can't it be easy? It's letting go of the tree branch, you know? I'm gonna plummet to my death if you don't catch me. But that little boy is God's perfect plan for us. And that was another terrifying process that God walked us through. You know, there's so much uncertainty wrapped up in all of that. But as I was standing there holding her, she's giving herself the shot. It was like the past 10 years just made sense. It's been a lot of pain, and it's been a lot of darkness, and it's been a lot of tears, but there's been a lot of life that has already come out of it. And we let go of the tree branch. Some days it's gonna feel like we're free falling, but we know he's gonna catch us. And we know that we're gonna hold a little one in our arms. And it's not because of any kind of discontentment. I still remember and will never forget the first time I held my boy. It was transcendent, is the only way I can describe it. I fell in love with him, though I had just met him, and he didn't even have the ability to tell me that he loved me. And everyone who's a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The first time you hold your child, there is nothing quite like it. And I look forward to that moment happening again. I don't know why it has to be hard, but I'm grateful for what God's brought out of it. And I can tell you it's worth it to let go of the tree branch, because God will catch you every time. He never, ever, ever fails. And no matter what your faith journey looks like, and no matter how you relate to Abraham, whether it's this contentment with what God has already done, or you're content with the stabilized mess, you don't feel like you deserve an Isaac, the triumph of this story is not that Abraham was able to just say, well, okay, God, I'm just gonna wait and see what happens. I'll just kind of pray roulette with life here and see what you do. The triumph of the story is not about anything Abraham did. The triumph of the story is wrapped up in the character of God. Because again, what was God's response? I want to give you Isaac. I want to give you plan A. I want to give you the best thing. I don't want to settle for the stabilized mess. You might have made a mess, but it doesn't rule out what I originally planned to do with your life and to give you. It's never too late for God to bring things back into alignment. Yes, there was an Ishmael, but God said, I'm still going to give you the covenant heir. And sometimes what God is calling us to do, the way that you let go of the tree branch, is you stop arguing and rationalizing and saying, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Can we just live with what you've already given us? Can I just stick with the mess because believing you for more is scary? You start saying, no, be it unto me according to your word, because you want to do this. God wants to bless you. And the hardest thing in the world to say sometimes is looking at my wife and her looking at me and saying, God wants to give us a baby. Because it goes against 10 years of experience. We have had those arguments with God. When you're unexplained infertility, it's like you're the only one that we can hold responsible. It's like you wish something would be physically wrong with one of us, because then there's a reason. But when there's no reason, it's like, why are you not doing this? And so when you try to say in faith, you want to give us what we're longing for, you want to bless us, there's a lot of fear that tries to argue with that. What blessing do you feel that God's promised you, but you're afraid to confess? What blessing are you afraid to believe for? It doesn't matter how physical it is. It doesn't matter how spiritual it is. If God has made you a promise, it's time to rise up in faith. You have to let go of the tree branch to rise in faith. You have to welcome the possibility of the free fall, because you know that God is bigger and stronger than the force of gravity beneath you. Yes, there's the possibility of disappointment, but that's only if God's not strong enough. So what do you really believe about him? What do you really believe about his love for you? Do you believe, alumni, as we heard this weekend, that he delights in you? If you really believe that he delights in you, then let go of the branch and start praying for that blessing again. Start praying for Isaac again. Let go of the Ishmael. Don't settle for less. If God put a dream in your heart 10 years ago, then start praying for it to come back alive again.
Don't give up on it. You who are still students, those of you that are our members here at the church, what blessing do you fear is never going to come? Let go of the tree branch. Trust God. Believe him to be everything he says he is. He does not fail, and he wants to bless you. Abraham is the one saying, I don't deserve Isaac. God is the one saying, I don't care. You're my son, and I'm going to give you a son. It's not about what you do or do not deserve. God blesses you because you're his child. It's because you belong to him. Yes, sometimes, like Abraham, he's got to come and confront us where we've allowed dysfunction from sin to come into our lives. When we make decisions that are destructive to relationships, they wound other people, God has to deal with that. There needs to be a circumcision of the heart. And if that's something that maybe you need, get that straightened out with the Lord today. Don't walk out of here with things that could stifle the covenant blessing from coming to you. Don't walk out of here living at peace with sinful dysfunction that God wants to correct and heal you of. But no matter the case, whatever it is God might have to deal with, the end goal is always that he might give you everything he promised. Because in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God are yes and amen. There is no maybe. There is no uncertain conditions. Because see, when God needs to deal with us, and I'm going to close in just a moment, when God needs to deal with us on things, repentance is not necessarily a condition that you have to meet in order to earn some blessing or promise from God. It's not about meeting conditions like in a contract. Repentance is about us being in a right state where we are able to receive a blessing from God and use it appropriately and not turn it into some kind of idol that we misuse and that we worship more than we worship him. It's about our hearts being in alignment with him and that we remember who's in charge, who's the God, and who's the creature here. God wants to give you your Isaac, and you might be laughing at that right now, and you might be dismissing it as impossible for one reason or another, but God is faithful, and I'm not on the other side of my journey yet. I haven't been picked up and set back on the top of the mountain. I'm still in midair, but I'm trusting God. I'm not preaching from a finished place. I'm preaching in faith. And I'm asking, who's going to let go with me? Who's ready to let go of their Ishmael? Who's ready to believe that God will not let them drop? He's going to lift you up in faithfulness because that's who he is and that he's willing and ready to bless you. That's the call that God wants us to answer this morning. Would you stand with me, please? As the worship team comes, I just want to give an invitation. It's time to believe for Isaac again. It's time to let go of Ishmael, even if Ishmael is a good thing. I'm not letting go of my firstborn son. I'm not calling him less than. He's not. Sometimes we've walked the road of impossibility, and God has fulfilled a promise to us, but he wants you to believe for more. He calls you to have your faith stretched again, and it's scary. Don't be scared. Let go of the tree branch and trust him. If you feel like you just want to settle for your stabilized mess and you don't want to believe that God's got more for you than where you are because it's just too scary, you might make a mess again, you surely have altered his plans, let go of that lie. You already heard it this morning. The devil is a liar. There is no limitation to what God will do in and through your life. Let go of Ishmael and reach out to receive Isaac. Reach out to receive the fullness of God's promise for you. If the Lord is speaking to you and you need to make war against the fear of disappointment, I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to join me at the front and I want you to start lifting your hands to believe God. We're gonna sing a song this morning. We've got a lot of throwbacks going on with our worship. Maddie D's here, we're taking advantage of it. But we would sing this song that said, I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. Let faith arise. If that's the cry of your heart, if you're ready to let go of the tree branch and you're ready to start crying out for Isaac, I want you to come and I want you to lift your hands and make that confession of faith. God, we lift our hands to believe again. Lord, we are not going to cling. We are not going to cling to our vain tree branches. We are not going to let the fear of disappointment rule our lives.
We are not going to let the fear of disappointment limit our prayers, oh God. You are the God of the impossible. You are the God who called light out of darkness. You are the God who calls life out of places of death. You call the things that are not as though they were. Things that don't even exist, you speak of them as though they do, because you are the Creator. And Lord, I thank you that no matter what Isaac is being believed for this morning, no matter what promise seems impossible today, it's your desire to keep that promise. It's your desire to give my brothers and sisters their Isaac. It's your calling on them to let go of their Ishmael. Let go of the mess. Let go of the fear of failure. Let go of the fear that God's not going to use you. You have not changed anything. You are not strong enough to change God's mind about your life. You are not strong enough to alter his plans for you. He is able to turn your detours back into destiny. He is able to do that. You do not need to be afraid of believing for the impossible again. God will do it again. What you've seen him do in the past, he'll do it again for you. God, that's our confession today. Lord, as we sing to you, would you let faith arise in our hearts? God, would we enter into a season of seeing your promises fulfilled to us? God, some of us, we might think that the promise of, it might be a very specific promise. It might be something like the promise of a baby, the promise of provision, the promise of healing, the promise of restoration in relationships, the promise of a healed marriage or a healed family might seem impossible, but you will do it. You are not a liar. The devil is a liar. We agree with God today. For some of us, Lord, it's even biblical promises. The promise of holiness seems impossible. The promise of purity seems impossible. The promise of courage and peace that surpasses all understanding seems impossible. But God, we believe you today. We let go of our tree branches, God. We let go of our Ishmaels, Lord. We're not gonna settle for less because you won't settle for less. Lord, touch our hearts now as we sing to you. Let faith arise in Jesus' name. Let's go to the Lord in worship for a few moments. Thanks.